Santa Barbara Theater of the Air presents Larry Park's Day in Court by Eric Bentley.
What did it mean to be a citizen of the United States in 1951? Who was a patriot of this country in that year? Who was a traitor? The two greatest military powers on earth, the United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, each representing a different way of governing its people, each trying to spread its influence over the globe, had armed to the teeth in fear, distrust, and hatred of the other. Each had accumulated numerous nuclear weapons to be used, if it were thought necessary, to destroy the peoples and civilization of the other. In this country, people were encouraged to build underground bomb shelters and told that should Russia launch atomic bombs against us, we might, living in these shelters with stored food and water, survive for days, weeks, or even months before having to emerge into a blasted, irradiated, dead world. In that tense and fearful time, politicians and others rose to prominence by promising Americans they could and would uncover traitors in their midst. Communists and communist sympathizers who had, they said, burrowed into the fabric of government and infiltrated our every institution, including science, labor unions, publishing, and the entertainment industries. In 1950, a grocer in upstate New York began publishing red channels, announcing that the Soviets were engaged in a conspiracy to infiltrate and dominate our radio and television channels in order to undermine our democratic way of life. This recurring publication named actors, directors, writers, composers, who were reported to have attended certain meetings, supported certain causes it deemed either communist or instruments of Soviet policy. Suddenly, those names could no longer find work. Blacklisting spread through the country. In 1938, the United States House of Representatives had formed the House Committee on Un-American Activities, whose purpose was to uncover what was called subversive elements in our country. At first, the Ku Klux Klan as well as leftist organizations were to be investigated, but later the Klan was removed from the list since several members protested that the Klan was an accepted American institution. The committee soon turned its attention to the American motion picture industry. In 1947, nine film writers and one director, the Hollywood Ten, refused to testify before the committee, claiming it was their constitutional right not to do so. They were prosecuted for contempt of Congress, found guilty, and sent to prison. Now, in 1951, the House Un-American Activities Committee has called as its first witness of this session Larry Parks, the 36-year-old film actor who had risen to stardom in the immensely successful movies The Jolson Story and its sequel Jolson Sings Again. We are in room 226 of the Old House Office Building, Washington, D.C. The gavel is sounding. The committee session is about to begin. It is 10:35 a.m., March 21st, 1951.
Committee on Un-American Activities has succeeded in exposing communist infiltration into labor organizations, with the result that the organizations have rid themselves of communist domination, and that the Congress has been informed of important facts as the basis for legislative action. The testimony of Matthew Kvetic virtually destroyed the power of the Communist Party in Western Pennsylvania. Then there have been many witnesses who have told how they were duped into joining the party, the activities they observed as members, and their reasons for breaking. They have performed a service of inestimable value to their country and should receive the plaudits of their fellow citizens. The hearing today is the first of a series designed to accomplish the same results in the entertainment field. It is hoped that any witness who made the mistake of associating himself with the Communist Party will have sufficient courage and loyalty to make an honest disclosure of all he knows. Now, I would like to call as the first witness Mr. Larry Parks. Are you represented by counsel, Mr. Parks?
Yes, I am.
Will counsel identify himself?
Louis Mandel, 1501 Broadway, New York City. Mr. Parks has prepared a statement. It will be enlightening to the committee as his testimony unfolds. Mr. Chairman, may he read that statement?
At the conclusion of his testimony.
In fairness to the witness, I would urge that he be permitted to read the statement now. There is a connecting link to what he will testify.
Proceed, Mr. Taverner.
Mr. Parks, when and where were you born?
I was born on a farm in Kansas. The closest town would be Olathe.
Will you relate the details regarding your educational background?
I moved when quite small to Illinois, attended the high school in Joliet, graduated from the University of Illinois, where I majored in chemistry and minored in physics. I sometimes wonder how I got in my present line of work.
Mr. Parks, there has been testimony regarding a number of organizations in Hollywood, such as the Actors Laboratory Theater. Have you been connected with any of those?
I have.
Will you state their names? I will hand you the list.
Well, I'm familiar with the Actors Laboratory.
Did you hold any position in that organization?
For a time, I was sort of honorary treasurer.
Proceed.
I was a member of the Hollywood Independent Citizens Committee of the Arts, Sciences, and Professions.
We will have to ask the photographers not to block the view.
Now, referring back to the Actors Laboratory, of which you were treasurer?
In name, yes.
In name?
My job was to sign a batch of checks. And that's the extent of my knowledge of money matters.
Will you tell the committee whether or not there were communists in these various organizations?
I can say yes to that.
Well, who were the communists?
I don't know. There were communists attached to the lab, but this was not a communist organization in any sense of the word.
Well, were there communists attached to these other organizations that you say you were a member of?
I don't know.
But do you recall that at the Actors Laboratory there were members of the Communist Party?
That's true.
Did those party members endeavor to gain control?
No. The lab was a school for acting and sort of a showcase for actors.
Well, what was your opportunity to observe that there were communists in that organization?
I knew them as communists.
Well, what had been your opportunity to know them as communists?
In my opinion, there's a great difference between being a communist in 41 and being a communist in 51. I was a member of the Communist Party in 41.
Well, tell the committee the circumstances under which you became a member of the Communist Party, and if you left the party, when you did, and why.
Being a member of the party fulfilled certain needs of a young man who was liberal in thought, idealistic, who was for the underprivileged, the underdog. I felt it fulfilled these needs. Being a communist in 51, in this situation, is a different kettle of fish. A great power is trying to take over the world. This is the difference.
You didn't realize that the purpose of the Communist Party was to take over other segments of the world in 41, but you do realize this in 51?
Well, this is in no way an apology for anything I've done, you see, because I feel I have done nothing wrong ever. In 41, the purposes, as I knew them, simply fulfilled, at least I thought they would fulfill, a certain idealism, a certain feeling for being for the underdog, which I am today, this minute. This didn't work out. I wasn't particularly interested after I did become a member. I attended very few meetings and petered out the same way I drifted in. I petered out in 44 or 45.
Your communist registration card for the year 1944 bore the number 46954, and for the year 1945, the number 47344. Does that refresh your recollection?
No, sir, it doesn't, because to the best of my recollection, I never had a party card.
Now, do I infer that by 46 you had broken from the party?
Correct.
Will you state to the committee where you first became a member of the party?
Hollywood, California.
Who recruited you into the party?
A man by the name of Davidson, I believe.
What was Davidson's first name and position?
I don't remember his first name. I haven't seen him for 10 years. And I don't know what his position was.
Where did he live?
I have no idea.
What was his occupation?
I don't know either.
Well, can you give us some descriptive data on the individual?
average-looking, young, dark hair.
Well, what were the circumstances under which you met?
This is hard for me to recall, too.
Well, was it at a meeting, at your home? Or where?
I really don't remember. I'm being as honest as I know how.
Well, I just wanted you to give the committee what information you recall about how you got into the Communist Party.
I was a good deal younger then, about 25, with certain liberal tendencies, idealism.
Did you seek this individual out, or did he seek you out?
I certainly didn't seek him out. It's hard for me to say whether he sought me out.
Did others counsel you in regard to your uniting with the Communist Party before you were recruited by this Davidson?
No. I did it of my own volition.
Were you assigned to a party cell?
I was.
What was the name of the cell and where was it located?
Well, it had no name that I know of.
Well, now, you were a member from 41 to 45. Will you tell us what you know about the organization of the Communist Party during that time?
Well, I was a pretty bad member by their lights. I didn't attend too many meetings, 10, 12, 15 maybe. What I know about the Communist Party is very little.
Do you know whether the writers and actors in Hollywood were members of any particular branch or group of the Communist Party?
I know that certain actors were a group that met. The other things I do not know.
Well, were there several groups to which the actors belonged, depending upon the geographical location of the actor?
I wouldn't say for certain. I'm not under that impression.
Well, who was the chairman of the group?
It had no chairman that I know of.
Well, who was the secretary?
I don't recall. I don't know if there were any actual officers.
Well, to whom did you pay your dues?
This is hard for me to answer, too, because the few times I paid dues were to different people.
Well, was communist literature distributed to the members?
Certain pamphlets were available if you wished to buy
them. Who had charge of the distribution or sale?
Well, this I don't know either. The pamphlets were there. You could buy them if you wished.
Well, was there any secret about who was handling the literature of the party?
No.
What was the total membership of the cell?
I would say it went up to maybe, possibly 10 or 12.
Did the personnel change between 41 and 45?
I attended rather irregularly. And at some of the meetings, I would see someone I didn't recognize, and I would never see them again.
But did party organizers appear before your group from time to time? People from the East, let's say.
No, I don't recall ever seeing any big shot.
You're acquainted with V.J. Jerome?
I don't believe I've ever seen him.
Are you acquainted with Lionel Stander?
I've met him.
Have you ever attended a Communist Party meeting with him?
I don't recall ever attending a Communist Party meeting with Lionel Stander.
Do you know whether he's a party member?
No.
Are you acquainted with Karen Morley?
I am.
Is she a member of the Communist Party?
Well, counsel, I would prefer not to mention names. I don't think it's fair to people. Now, I've come to you at your request. I'll tell you everything I know about myself, because I feel I've done nothing wrong, and I'll answer any question you'd like to put to me about myself. I would prefer not to mention other people's names.
Well, do you take the same position with respect to the leaders of the communist movement?
I do, because I don't know the leaders of the communist movement.
Well, you know who was active in the movement in California?
I only know the names of people who attended certain meetings. These were not leaders of the Communist Party.
Well, who directed the meetings you attended?
The meetings consisted mainly of... We were in a war then. Discussions of how the war was going, current events, problems of actors in their work. Does that answer your question, Congressman?
It's an answer. It's an answer.
I'd like to answer your question.
Well, who directed the activities this group were engaged in?
No one, to my knowledge, directed activities.
Well, who would call the meetings together?
Well, I don't really know.
Well, did you have a set schedule meeting once every week, or was it upon the call of some individual?
Various individuals would call. I don't believe there was any
set... Well, certainly it wasn't run by mental telepathy.
No, I didn't say that. I say certain individuals would call, and to the best of my knowledge, there was no set schedule.
Somebody had to issue a call.
That's correct.
Did you ever issue a call?
No.
Then somebody would have to tell you when and where the meetings would take place. Is that not true?
I would get a call from a member of the group, and they would say, let's have a meeting tonight, tomorrow night.
Were the meetings always held at the same place?
No.
Were they held in halls or in your own homes?
These were held at homes.
Did you ever have meetings at your home?
Never.
Where were some of the meetings held?
These were people like myself, small-time people, no different than myself in any respect at all. No different than you or I.
Where were some of the meetings held?
As I say, in various homes in Hollywood.
Can you name some?
Well, if you will allow this, I would prefer not to mention names. These were people like myself who have done nothing wrong ever. I mean, along this line. I'm sure none of us is perfect. Again, the question of judgment certainly is there, but these are people...
Just a moment. Do you entertain the feeling that these parties you were associated with are likewise guiltless of any wrong?
This is my opinion, that these are people who did nothing wrong, people like myself.
Mr. Parks, in what way would it be injurious to them to divulge their identities when at no time did they do wrong?
If you think this is easy, I've worked hard in my profession, climbed up the ladder a bit. If you think it's easy for me to appear before this committee and testify, you're mistaken. This is a very difficult job for me. One of the reasons is that, as an actor, my activity depends a great deal on the public. To be called before this committee at your request has a certain inference, a certain innuendo that you're not loyal to this country. This is not true. I am speaking for myself. This is not true, but the inference, the innuendo is there as far as the public is concerned. Also, as a representative of a great industry, as an actor who's fairly well known, in that respect I'm a representative, this is a great industry. At this time, it's being investigated for communist influence.
Don't you think the public is entitled to know about it?
Hmm?
Don't you feel the public is entitled to know about it?
I certainly do. And I'm opening myself wide to any question you can ask me. I'll answer as honestly as I know how. And at this time, as I say, the industry is... It's like taking a pot shot at a wounded animal, because the industry is not in as good a shape as it has been. Economically, it's been pretty tough. This is a great industry. And... I don't say this only because it's been kind to me. It has a very important job to do, to entertain people. In some respects, to call attention to certain evils, but mainly to entertain. And I feel they've done a great job. When our country has needed help, the industry has been in the forefront of that help.
You're basing your reluctance to testify on the great job that the moving picture industry is doing?
No, on naming names. It is my opinion that the few people I could name, these names would not be of service to the committee. I'm sure you know who they are. These are people like myself, and I've done nothing wrong. I also feel that this is not... To be asked to name names like this is not in the way of American justice as we know it. You know, we as Americans have all been brought up to believe it's a bad thing to force a man to do this. I've been brought up that way. I'm sure you have. This is not the American way.
Well, I'm glad to give considerable leeway to the range of your statement because I'm curious to understand what your reasons are for declining to answer the question.
Yeah.
I'm not declining. Hmm. I'm asking if you would not press me on this.
I'm not going to press the point unless other members of the committee wish to.
Are any of the members of your cell still active in the Communist Party?
I can't say this, Congressman. I divorce myself completely. I know what I think, that 99% of them are not.
If you knew people in Hollywood that were identified with the party then, would you be reluctant to cite their names if they were active members at the present time?
I would be reluctant, well, only on one score, that I don't think it's good for an American to be forced to do this. But I feel that the people I knew are not members of the Communist Party at the present time. If they are, they shouldn't be.
If you had knowledge of a man who committed murder, you wouldn't be hesitant to give that information to the proper authorities.
That is correct.
I assume you share our belief that an active member of the Communist Party believes in overthrowing our government by force and violence. Now, if you would give information concerning a man you know has committed murder, wouldn't you give information of a man you know to be working to overthrow our government by force and violence?
Right. If I knew a man who committed murder, which is against the law of our land, I would name him immediately. The other thing, well, even now, it is not against the law of our land. You understand the difference I mean?
So when we are drafting men to fight communist aggression, you feel it's not your duty as an American citizen to give the committee the benefit of what knowledge you might have?
I think there is a difference, Congressman, between people who would harm our country and people like myself, who, as I feel, did nothing wrong.
I'm not questioning the point when you say people like you might be misguided or members of the party because of faulty judgment, but you cannot believe that anyone can be naive enough to be an active member of the Communist Party today and not know what he's doing.
That's correct.
Well, for that reason, I can't see your consistency in saying you won't name someone you know today who is an active member of the party.
But I don't know anyone today who is an active member of the party.
If you did know, you would tell?
Yes, I think I would.
And Mr. Parks, your argument is that this committee should investigate communism but should not find out who is a communist.
No, this is not my argument at all.
Well, you're taking the position that it is not important to find out who may be in communism in Hollywood.
No.
Rather than for this committee to determine what its obligations are under the statute which created it to investigate communism.
No, counsel, I didn't say this.
But isn't that the result of your argument?
No. Counsel, what I say is that the few people I knew are as loyal to this country as you.
And if every witness were permitted to take that position, the extent of the investigation would be limited by the attitude of the witness, wouldn't it?
But I told you the circumstances surrounding my small activity with the Communist Party, and this makes a difference.
In your judgment?
Not only in my judgment. I know these people were like me, and the most you can accuse them of is a lack of judgment. I say none of this in apology for what I did, because a young man at 25, if he's not a liberal, if he's not full of idealism, is not worth his salt. If you make a mistake in judgment like this, I don't believe it is serious.
Yes, but if every witness would be the final judge of when a thing was serious and when it was not, how could the committee carry out its statutory duty?
I'm asking that you
see the other side.
I do see the other side.
Now, Mr. Parks, you've placed Hollywood on a very high pedestal.
I have.
But there have been testimony involving the scientific professions, persons in government, persons in numerous industries. And I take it no preference should be allowed to your profession over any other calling.
That is true. I was probably the poorest member of the Communist Party that has existed. And the few people I knew, you probably know their names. I can see no way this would be of help to the committee. If it were really consequential, I would
Pardon
do it.
Me?
But you must realize that inconsequential as I was, the few people I knew, it's distasteful to me to be forced
into
this position.
It's a distasteful position to be
and
in. And you understand the purposes of this organization. Now, if you'd be equally frank with regard to other people who are connected with this organization, the committee would be permitted to function. And therefore, I am going to ask you, who acted as secretary for this group?
And I can honestly say I do not know.
Do you know Elizabeth Leach?
I don't recall an Elizabeth Leach.
Do you know a person by the name of Elizabeth Glenn?
To the best of my knowledge, I do not.
Do you know a person by the name of Marjorie Potts?
I do not. I don't recall ever meeting these people.
Now, do you know Karen Morley?
I do.
Was Karen Morley a member of this group with you?
And I ask you again, counsel, to reconsider forcing me to name names. I told you I was a member only for a short time, and I don't think this is American justice to force me to do this when I've come 3,000 miles.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask counsel a question? How could it be material to this inquiry to have the names of people when we already know them? By insisting that this man testify as to names, aren't we overlooking the fact that we want to know what the organization did? How it attempted to influence the thinking of the American people through the arts?
May I answer your question?
No.
Some of these individuals have evaded service of process, so we cannot bring them here. That's one point. Another is that this committee ought to receive proof of information, which it has in its files. There would be no way to investigate communist infiltration into labor without asking who are communists in labor.
Yeah, but isn't it more important to learn the extent of the activity and the purpose of the organization than to get a list of names of bleeding hearts and fools and suckers?
Well, as to organizations, that was the subject of much testimony.
May I ask the witness a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Walder.
Were you instructed to influence the thinking of the American people through stage and screen?
I was never instructed to do this, and I think it is evident that this was not done.
Oh, was it talked about? Was it the purpose of the communist organization to set up a hardcore in Hollywood that would slant pictures and performances?
First of all, it's impossible to do this as an actor. I was never asked to.
Wouldn't the writer be in a position to very decidedly slant...
A script passes through too many hands. It is my opinion that this is an impossibility.
And didn't happen.
I don't believe that this ever happened.
Now, you're leaving an impression there was nothing off-color about the people in your group. How, then, could it reflect against the members of this group for the names to be known any more than if they belonged to the YMCA?
I feel as I do because I think I'm a good example. As I said, it's not easy for me to be here. Anybody who thinks it is out of their mind. It's doubtful whether, after appearing before this committee, my career will continue. It is extremely doubtful for coming here and telling you the truth. There were other things open to me, but feeling I have done nothing wrong, I will tell you the truth.
Mr. Parks, have you any knowledge of the efforts of the movie industry to clean out subversive influence?
This is common knowledge.
Is it your knowledge?
When I say common knowledge, I mean mine, yours, everybody's.
A few minutes ago, you said you were honorary treasurer. Your duty was to sign a batch of checks?
That's right.
To whom were those checks written?
Well, these were to pay the... The office help, the secretaries, the cleanup man, the teachers, the electric company.
How many secretaries and what office help? For what organizations?
For the Actors Lab.
How many secretaries?
It varied from none to three or four.
Was this one cell limited to members of the actors' profession?
I believe it was.
And you had a social affair. Did you serve refreshments?
Yes, coffee. I'm serious when I say that. Coffee, donuts.
Did the cell have dues?
It did.
How much were the dues?
Well, I couldn't have contributed more than $50, $60.
You were connected with this cell from 41 to 45, yet you only paid a total of $50 or $60?
Well, the dues, as I recall, when you weren't working, were about 75 cents a month. And if you were working, I think you paid some percentage. I didn't.
You were idealistic, liberal, progressive at the age of 25. And that, perhaps, is the one reason you joined the Communist Party.
No, that is the reason.
Didn't that cell make efforts to increase its own membership in Hollywood?
I personally never made such an effort.
No, but you heard reports of what was being done by the cell.
That's correct.
Well, what reports were given?
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Well, now you notice, Parks, at this time I'm deliberately avoiding asking you names.
Yes.
I'm assuming you want to be helpful to the committee and tell the activities of the cell?
That's correct, and I'm doing this.
Now, manifestly, the cell was trying to increase its membership, wasn't it?
That's correct.
You testified that you heard reports. of what the cell was doing to increase its membership.
Well, you're really going a bit further than I said, Congressman.
Well, you go as far as you honestly can and tell us what activities the cell participated in to increase its membership.
Well, I think certain members of the group approached people about becoming a member of the Communist Party. I myself never did this.
Well, names of prospective members were read off in your presence, or possibilities were read off, weren't they?
It's possible that this was done.
Well, was it done?
As I say, it's been a long time.
Was any difference in philosophy between communism and our form of government ever discussed in the cell? What did you discuss besides drinking coffee?
We didn't discuss drinking coffee. The war was going on, and this was the major topic of conversation. The discussions also had to do with actors, how we could get more money, better conditions.
Well, was it discussed among you that you could get more money as a member of the Communist Party than as, say, a plain Democrat or Republican?
No, this was never discussed.
Why did you join? What was the membership in this cell going to do for you in Hollywood?
As a man of 25, with ideals and a feeling for the underdog, I felt this was a legitimate party, like the Democrats or Republicans. I felt this was the most liberal of the parties. I was a registered Democrat. I still am. From that time and before, I voted the straight Democratic ticket. This was the practical thing to do. The other was an idealistic thing.
How many years were you in the cell before you began to be disillusioned?
Well, disillusion is not the word I would choose.
Do I understand, sir, that you are not yet disillusioned?
No, don't bend it. It was a question of lack of interest, of not finding the things I thought I would find.
Did it come clear to you that the Communist Party was part of an international conspiracy against our form of government?
No.
Did you come to the conclusion that the Communist Party program was aimed at world domination?
Not at that time.
Well, when did you come to that conclusion?
Well,
if at all?
The way most everybody has, with recent events in the history of our country and the world.
Were there members of the Communist Party who spoke to your group?
There was one instance.
Can you give his name?
Again, I wish you would not press me.
Mr. Parks, do you know that at the time you belonged to the Communist Party, it was a subversive organization?
A great change has occurred.
So you feel that the do-gooders have gotten out of it, and there's nothing remaining except the hard-boiled politicians.
I agree.
Mr. Parks, how could you know how other members of your cell felt about the party?
Well, during the war, a common purpose united all the people of this country.
I don't think you're answering my question, Mr. Parks. I realize you're reluctant in telling the membership of your organization.
Would you repeat the question, then?
We had a witness down here last year, a Mr. Lee Pressman, who was likewise reluctant to answer questions concerning his association with a Communist Party cell. But eventually he did, and it did this committee good. I understand your reluctance, but the committee is legally organized and has a function.
I agree.
As such, it has the right to inquire as to the names of members of the Communist Party.
That is your right.
Mr. Parks, you're no doubt acquainted with Samuel G. Wood, producer and director. Sam G. Wood testified as follows. The Laboratory Theater is under the control of the Communist Party. Any kid that goes in there with American ideals hasn't a chance in the world. You agree?
I disagree.
You agree that Mr. Wood is a man of honor?
But I disagree with this.
But in light of that testimony, you still feel that you should be the judge as to whether or not you should testify?
At no time did I say I was the judge. I'm a witness. I am asking you gentlemen to be the judge.
There is a vast difference, apparently, between your opinion of that organization and the opinion of others.
We are going to take a recess for lunch. The committee will be in order.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Parks would like to talk about naming names.
He expressed himself pretty fully this morning. Council has a few more questions. Maybe they will bring out what he wants to say.
What he has to say is very pertinent at this point. I don't think we can judge it until he says it. It'll take him 3 minutes. In view of the fact that he has cooperated so completely with the committee, I think you should be granted 3 minutes.
Make it as brief as you can, Mr. Parks.
I will. Mr. Chairman, to be a good actor, you must experience from the top of your head to the tip of your toes what you're doing. As I told you, this is probably the most difficult morning and afternoon I've ever spent, and I wish that if it were at all possible, see, a little different to sit there and to sit here, and if you could transfer places with me mentally and put yourself in my place. My people have a long heritage in this country. They fought in the Revolutionary War to make this country, to create the government of which this committee is a part. I have 2 boys, one 13 months, one 2 weeks. Is this the kind of heritage I must hand down to them? Is this the kind of heritage you would hand down to your children? For what purpose? People you already know. I don't think I would be here today if I weren't a star, because you know as well as I, even better, that I know nothing that would be of great service to this country. I think my career has been ruined because of this, and I would appreciate not having to. Don't present me with the choice of either being in contempt of this committee and going to jail, or being forced to crawl through the mud and be an informer. For what purpose? I don't think this is a choice at all. I don't think this is sportsmanlike. I don't think this is American. Something like this is more akin to what happened under Hitler and what is happening in Russia. I don't think this is American justice for an innocent mistake in judgment, if it was that, with the intention behind it only of making this country a better place in which to live. It is not befitting to force me to make this kind of a choice. I don't think it is befitting to the purpose of the committee to do this. This is probably the most difficult thing I've ever done, and it seems to me it would impair the usefulness of this committee. God knows it's difficult enough to come before this committee and tell the truth. There was another choice open to me. I did not choose to use it. I chose to come and tell the truth. If you do this to me, it will make it almost impossible for a person to come to you as I have done and tell the truth. I beg of you not to force me to do this.
Now, Mr. Parks, there was a statement you made this morning that interested me a great deal. You said this is a great industry. It has an important job to do, to call attention to certain evils, but mainly to entertain. Now, do you believe that persons who call attention to certain evils ought to be dedicated to the principles of democracy as we understand them in this country?
I certainly agree.
Do you believe, on the other hand, that persons in those positions should be antagonistic to the principles of democracy, be members of a conspiracy to overthrow our government?
Most assuredly, I don't.
Then what is your opinion as to whether members of the Communist Party should be in positions of power in the various unions which control the writing of scripts, the actors, and so on?
I do not believe those people should be in any position of power.
Then we will ask your cooperation before this hearing is over in helping us ascertain those who are or have been members of the Communist Party. Now, Mr. Parks, tell us what you know of the methods by which money was raised for the party.
I don't recall. I'm not trying to avoid the question.
Well, I have no trick question here through which I'm attempting to lead you into denial of something that we know about.
I've been as above board as I can. I think the testimony will bear me out. I'm willing to help you if you could be more specific. I have appeared at many benefits over the years.
Were any of these benefits for the Communist Party?
I don't recall any.
Now, you have said you were subpoenaed because you were a star. Mr. Parks, you were subpoenaed because the committee had information that you had knowledge about communist activities.
All I meant was that I know nothing of any conspiracy to overthrow this government. And my point was that if I were working in a drugstore, I doubt whether I would be here.
We have had many people before this committee who have been engaged in very menial forms of making a livelihood.
Please don't take that in the wrong spirit.
I didn't understand your reference to the possible destruction of your career. You didn't mean to infer that this committee was bringing you here because of any effect it might have on your career?
No. What I said was that because of this, I have no career left.
Don't you think that question might be influenced by the fullness of the cooperation you give the committee?
I have tried to cooperate, but I think the damage has been done.
Don't you think the damage occurred when you became a member of an organization which advocates the overthrow of every form of constitutional government in the world? Is the committee more to blame than your own act in affiliating with that organization? This committee is an expression of the will of the American people.
As I told you, Congressman, when I was younger than I am now, I felt a certain way about things. I felt strongly, and I still do, about the underdog. And it was for these reasons that this organization appealed to me. I later found it would not fulfill my needs. At that time, I don't even believe this was a mistake in judgment. It may have been. This is debatable. But my two boys, I would rather have them make the same mistake I did than not feel like making any mistake at all and be a cow in the pasture. If a man doesn't feel that way about certain things, he is not a man. I do not believe I did anything wrong.
Mr. Parks, upon what do you base the opinion that the people whose names you have in your possession have probably severed their relations with the Communist Party?
The few people I knew are people like myself and feel the way I do.
Well, of course, that is your judgment of the matter. Have you discussed party affiliations with those with whom you were affiliated in the party?
I have not, but these people I knew, and this is my honest opinion. And you know these people as well as I do.
In a recent case here in Washington, some of the highest government officials testified that a man with whom they had been associated had never been a member of the Communist Party and in no way constituted any threat to our institutions. Every man who reads the newspapers now knows how fallacious that opinion was.
You know who the people are. I don't think this is American justice to make me choose whether to be in contempt of this committee or crawl through the mud for no purpose.
That is problematic, Mr. Parks. I know who they are. Maybe you're right. But I still think it's within the province of the committee to determine how far they will go.
I'm not setting myself up as a judge. I'm asking the committee not to make me do it.
I think you are wrong in assuming we know all the activities you engaged in and all the people you engaged in them with. Possibly you could furnish us with a lot of information we do not have. I feel sure you'd be willing to do that to serve the best interests of the United States.
I have told you of my activities to the best of my ability.
We will at this time make a break in the testimony. After we resume, the witness will be advised what the disposition of this committee is with reference to his apparent disinclination to answer questions.
The evening session is about to begin. The audience present during the morning and afternoon sessions is now absent. Present are only the committee, the chief counsel, Parks, and Parks' attorney.
Mr. Parks, we are going to seek your cooperation in a closed session for testimony that will not be publicized until such time, if at all, as the committee itself may deem expedient. Counsel will now propound additional questions.
Is it the intention of the committee, unless he answers these questions in private, to cite him for contempt?
The committee makes no threats.
Just to clear his thinking so he's fully informed of the consequences.
If Mr. Parks placed himself in the position of being in contempt of Congress, it is possible that the committee may request a citation. On the other hand, it may not. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'd like to spend another minute on it. In view of Mr. Parks' cooperative attitude, and everyone here understands what is motivating him, he feels so bad about what he has to do. And if he thought there were any chance you would elicit information that was important, he would give it to you. It's only saving that little bit of something that you live with. You have to see and walk in Hollywood with that. You have to meet your children and your wife with it, your friends. It is that little bit that you want to save. Although I don't ask the committee to commit itself, in fairness to Mr. Parks, he may have to sacrifice the arm with the gangrene in order to save the body. He will walk around the rest of his life without an arm. I realize the purposes of this committee, and our attitude has been one of cooperation. We want to go right through with that. Now, if this is the penalty he will have to pay, I have to urge him a different way. His opinion is that what he is going to give you will not only eat up his insides, and you will get nothing.
Mr. Attorney, the committee is not responsible for the position he finds himself in. We are responsible for the position we find ourselves in.
Mr. Parks,
Who are the members of the cell of the Communist Party to which you were assigned?
This is what I've been talking about. This is the thing. I'm no longer fighting for myself. I tell you frankly, I am probably the most ruined man you've ever seen. I'm fighting for a principle, I think, if Americanism is involved in this case. This is what I've been talking about. I do not believe it befits the committee to force me to do this. I do not believe it befits the purposes of this committee to force me to do this. This is my honest feeling about it. I don't think it's fair play. I don't think it's in the spirit of real Americanism. They are not a danger to this country, gentlemen, the people I knew. They are people like myself.
Mr. Chairman, if the witness refuses to answer the question, I see very little use in my asking him about other individuals.
The witness has got to make up his mind. It isn't sufficient, as far as this committee is concerned, to say that, in your opinion, it is unfair or un-American. The question is, will you answer?
I would like to ask the chairman whether he is directing the witness to answer.
The witness has been asked. He must answer or decline.
Well, I think a little more is needed. He must be directed to answer, and if he refuses, just merely asking him and not going beyond under law is not sufficient. I think he has to be told, you've got to answer.
I don't understand any such rule, but to avoid any controversy, I direct the witness to answer the question.
I do not refuse to answer the question, but I feel that this committee is doing a really dreadful thing. I don't believe the American people would look kindly on it.
Mr. Parks, we are, each one of us, responsible to the American people. I, for one, resent having my duties pointed out to me.
I'm not pointing your duty out.
The inference is that we are doing something un-American. That is a personal opinion of yours. We have accountability for which we must account.
The witness has said he doesn't refuse to answer, so I assume he is ready to answer.
I think the members of this committee are all seeking to do the right thing. No question about that. In the same spirit, no one with the heritage that Mr. Parks has to uphold can think he isn't as loyal as any member of this committee. He has to do the right thing, as we Americans do in our elections. Of course, when the final gong goes down, he intends to respect the will of this committee, but he reserves the right to talk to you gentlemen and possibly persuade you to think differently.
The committee took the view, sir, that there might be some merit in your contention if we were still in an open hearing, but we are not.
Well, this is a private session, which is very considerate of the committee, and I want to thank you. May I have a moment to talk to Mr. Parks?
Yes.
Okay. I make this request of the committee. I want no promise from you, just a sportsmanlike attitude, so that what he gives you will not be used, if it can be helped, to embarrass people in the same position he finds himself in today.
Nobody on this committee has any desire to smear anyone's name.
In the internal struggle that Mr. Parks is going through, I think it would go a little lighter having a statement from you.
If you will just answer the question, please. The question was, who were the members of the Communist Party's cell to which you were assigned?
Morris Karnofsky.
Will you spell that name?
I couldn't possibly spell it. Morris Karnofsky. Joe Bromberg, Sam Rawson, Ann Revere, Lee Cobb.
What was that name?
Lee Cobb, Gail Sondergaard, Dorothy Tree.
What was the name of Dorothy Tree's husband, Michael Uris?
Yes.
Was he a member of the cell?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you know whether Michael Uris was a member of the Communist Party?
I don't know.
Can you recall any other member of that cell?
That's about all.
Was Howard Da Silva a member?
I don't believe I ever attended a meeting with Howard Da Silva.
Was Howard Da Silva a member of the Communist Party?
Not to my knowledge.
Was Roman Bonin a member?
Yes.
He is now deceased, I believe?
He is dead.
Was James Cagney a member of the cell?
Not to my knowledge.
Was he a member of the Communist Party?
I don't recall ever hearing that he was.
Sam Jaffe.
I don't recall ever attending a meeting with Sam Jaffe.
Was he a member of the Communist Party?
I don't recall that Sam Jaffe was ever a member of the Communist Party.
John Garfield.
I don't recall ever being at a meeting with John Garfield.
Do you recall whether John Garfield ever addressed a Communist Party cell?
I don't recall any such occasion.
Mark Lawrence. Was he a member of that cell?
I believe he was.
May I suggest a counsel? In view of the feeling of the witness, I don't mean to rush you, but this whole thing being so distasteful, I wonder if we can proceed a little faster so he doesn't suffer so much?
I want him to be accurate. I purposely don't want to rush him in matters as important as these.
I am just trying to be considerate of the man's feelings.
I asked you this morning about Karen Morley. Was she a member of the Communist Party?
Yes.
Was she in this particular cell?
Yes.
Were lectures given in which persons outside of your cell took part?
The only one I recall was a talk by John Howard Lawson.
Georgia Backus? Was she a member of this group?
The name doesn't ring a bell.
Meta Reese Rosenberg.
I don't believe I know the lady.
Robert Rawson?
No.
Philip Loeb?
I don't recall the gentleman.
Lloyd Guff.
Yes, I believe he was I saw him at a couple of meetings.
Sterling Hayden?
I don't recall ever being at a meeting with Sterling Hayden.
Will Gear?
I don't recall ever being in a meeting with Will Gear.
Victor Killian Sr.?
Yes, I recall that he attended at least one meeting.
Victor Killian Jr.
I don't believe I'm acquainted with the gentleman.
Lionel Stander?
I've met him. I don't recall ever attending a meeting with him.
Mm-hmm. Andy Devine?
I don't recall ever attending a meeting with Andy Devine.
Edward G. Robinson?
I don't recall ever attending a meeting with Edward G. Robinson.
Madeline Carroll.
I don't recall ever attending a meeting with Madeline Carroll.
Gregory Peck.
I have no remembrance of attending a meeting with Gregory Peck.
Humphrey Bogart.
I don't recall attending a meeting with Humphrey Bogart.
I think you could get some comfort out of the fact that the people mentioned here have been subpoenaed. If they do appear here, it won't be as a result of anything you've testified to.
It is no comfort whatsoever.
Do you know of any other person whose name comes to your recollection?
I don't recall anyone else.
That is all, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to say, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. Park's testimony has certainly been refreshing.
Yes, it has.
We appreciate your cooperation, Mr. Parks. You are excused.
Well.
2 years later, July 15, 1953, Larry Parks addressed the following letter to the committee.
Dear Chairman Veldy, in rereading my public testimony before the House Committee on Un-American Activities, I am now convinced that it improperly reflects my true attitude. Perhaps some of the confusion in my testimony can best be explained by the fact that I was the first cooperative witness from Hollywood to appear before your committee, and at the time, I was under strain. Upon reflection, I see that I did not adequately express my true beliefs, beliefs which have been even deepened and strengthened since my appearance. I wish to make it clear that I support completely the objectives of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. I believe fully that communists and communist intrigues should be exposed. Liberals must now embrace the cause of anti-communism with the same dedication and zeal as we once did that of anti-Nazism. To assist your committee in obtaining full information about the Communist Party is the duty of all who possess such evidence. If I were to testify today, I would not testify as I did in 1951, that to give such testimony is to wallow in the mud. On the contrary, I would recognize that such cooperation would help the cause. My statement about not wanting my sons to become cows in the pasture needs clarification. I want my sons to participate in the search for democratic answers to the threat of totalitarianism. I hope the committee will publish the statement of my militant anti-communist beliefs at the earliest possible date. If there is any way in which I can further aid in exposing the methods of entrapment and deceit through which the communist conspirators have gained the adherence of American liberals, I hope the committee will so advise me. Sincerely, Larry Parks.
You have heard Larry Parks' Day in Court by Eric Bentley. The narrator was Don Stewart. The chief counsel was played by William Smithers. Larry Parks by Dan Gunther. Louis Mandel by Stan Glenn. The committee chairman was played by Braden McKinley. Committee members were played by Ross Borden, Tony Marotti, John Strawn, Richard Hoag, David Newton, and David Brainerd. It was produced and directed by your host, William Smithers, who wrote the introductory narration. Recording engineer, Brian Brown. Sound editor, Lars Nelson. This has been a production of KCSB and the Santa Barbara Theater of the Air.